Hello, everybody, and welcome to a new episode of WeTrans Logistics Podcast. My name is Robert Weber, and today I have two guests, Richard Kearns from Associated Wholesale Grocers, AWG, in the US. Richard, welcome.
Thank you.
And Robert Fenzel from WeTrans in Parkstein. Robert, welcome.
Hello.
Before we start talking about your company, Richard, please introduce yourself briefly to the listeners.
Okay. My name is Richard Kearns. I'm the Executive Vice President of Distribution and Logistics. I've been with Associated Wholesale Grocers for 25 years, and along with my other duties on the distribution and logistics side, I was the project sponsor for the WeTron Automation Project.
Right. We will talk about that later. Robert, please introduce yourself briefly to the listeners.
Okay. I began my career at WeTron in 1990 with an apprenticeship in electrical engineering. Over time, I transitioned into IT, later moving into project management. Today, I oversee project responsibilities across IT, PLC, mechanics, and commercials.
Wow. And you manage the project in the US, right?
Yes.
Okay. Richard, before we talk about the technical solution, can you please give us a short introduction? What is AWG's business model, and what has it changed, or what do your customers demand from you more than in the past, and why?
Yeah, well, I think firstly, let me tell you a little bit about Associated Wholesale Grocers, because probably a little bit different to your traditional customers. So we are a member-owned cooperative, meaning that the customers that we serve actually own us. 100% of all
owners of the shops, right?
Owners of the shops, correct? Yep. Yes. So 100% of our profits, because we're a cooperative, anything that's generated is actually returned to our members. Mm-hmm. We're led by a board of directors of 19 owners, and they are representative of the members at large. Mm-hmm. We actually have 1,100 owners, and we service 3,400 stores across 33 states, representing approximately $25 billion of retail sales.
Wow.
Our members are currently serviced by 9 distribution centers, of which our Mid-South distribution center, located in Hernando, Mississippi, mm-hmm. is an automated solution from WeTron.
Mm-hmm. That was our first project, right?
It was our first automated project, yes.
Mm-hmm. And what do your customers demand from you more than in the past, and why? What has changed?
Well, I think the customers are a lot more demanding now because obviously the environment has changed. But in terms of how we do business, we're really true to our mission. Mm-hmm. Our mission statement is to provide our members all the tools, products, and services that they need to compete favorably in the markets that they serve. Mm-hmm. And this includes us providing top quality supermarket merchandise and support services, mm-hmm. all at the lowest possible cost. So what that means for AWG is that we are laser focused on providing our members the best service, which includes delivering what our customers, our members demand on time, in full, at the highest quality, and the lowest cost.
So this is crucial because you want to attract more members, or you want to satisfy your members, right?
Yeah, it's actually a combination of both. First and foremost, we need to satisfy and delight the members that we have currently. Mm-hmm. But also what we want to do is attract new members and grow our organization. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we attract members based on our reputation. So if our current membership is happy, and we are fulfilling our mission, mm-hmm. that will hopefully, they will support us in getting new members.
Robert, is AWG comparable to the German Edeka, or is it a totally different approach?
Somehow, I would say yes, but there's one significant difference. For the store owner, there is no obligation to have AWG as a logistic provider. It means if WeTron and AWG would fail to deliver reliable logistics services, they might look for a different provider. There's much more competition, I would say.
Okay. But it's not unusual, right, Richard, to have a corporation in the US? The business model is not the common business model, or am I wrong?
The cooperative model is not the dominant model in the US. Mm-hmm. Again, like the UK, for example, the US is dominated by a lot of major players.
Mm-hmm. What role does logistics play in this now? Has it changed in recent years? And why and how, Richard?
Well, logistics plays an absolutely pivotal role in this. It's our role to ensure that the member receives what they order, as I stated earlier. Mm-hmm. We all know that even before COVID, labor availability was a challenge.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's continued to be a challenge, along with other factors such as increased transportation costs, regulations, mm-hmm. item proliferation, to name a few. Mm-hmm. So our role in distribution and logistics really is to find ways to continually improve our offering to our members and provide products as efficiently as possible. So we have to look for creative, innovative, and cost-effective ways to do so. I don't think our model has changed. Mm-hmm. I just think we're more focused on those things now.
But it's your first automated logistics warehouse or distribution center. How did you go about it? How did you integrate the organization, and what have you learned during the whole project? Perhaps you could also share a few figures what it now means for the supply chain for your customers.
Sure. So firstly, this was a huge project for AWG. In fact, it was our biggest ever capital project in our nearly 100-year history.
Wow.
So it was a monumental decision that we made. We had to make the right decision, and we had to choose the right partner.
Yes, you go full in.
Because we were all in.
Yeah.
So how did we go about it? Well, first and foremost, we did an awful lot of research.
Mm-hmm.
We looked at a number of automated providers. Really, there's only three or four that are out there. Mm-hmm. We evaluated what their offerings were and how they could provide solutions mm-hmm. for what we needed them for. We quickly honed in that WeTron was a good partner for us. So we visited a lot of sites, existing WeTron sites.
Mm-hmm.
We spoke to a lot of folks that were actually using the automation to assess their satisfaction, gain any feedback, and understand what benefits and returns they achieved.
Mm-hmm.
My philosophy on this was we wanted to look and have communication with folks that had implemented multiple WeTron systems.
Mm-hmm.
Because what that tells me is if they've implemented multiple ones, they're very satisfied with the solution. It works. It's reliable.
Mm-hmm.
So we found those references and we visited them. And finally, you know, we made a decision based on that. But also culture was important. We visited mm-hmm. with the WeTron team at all levels to understand the structure of the company, the WeTron team, the culture. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to understand and make sure that WeTron was a good long-term partner and a good cultural fit for AWG.
But your team had no experience with automation, or am I wrong?
That's correct. We had zero experience, so it was a really, really long journey.
Mm-hmm.
We've been working on this project for probably around about 15 years.
Okay.
We met with Carl.
So this is not the project to build the warehouse, so it's all about strategy and how do we do that, right?
Correct, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So go on, 15 years. What you did in this 15 years?
Well, we searched over the 15 years, we evaluated.
Oh, that's a long journey, right?
It is, yeah. I mean, it started off curiosity, you know, let's get a new toy and implement it into the distribution infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, it's a capital investment.
Mm-hmm.
We are not a massive company, you know, globally. We've got to make sure that we spend our capital wisely, and we've got to make sure
mm-hmm.
it was the right time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, we found that, you know, a couple of years ago, all the planets are aligned, and it was.
Mm-hmm. And what does it mean for the organization now? You have an organization, you have your colleagues, they are not familiar with automation. how you handle this, because there are different languages between the Vitron engineers and the sales guys or the people running the old warehouses, doing the old stuff, not automated processes. How do you translate this, or how do you integrate the new technology into your organization?
Well, I think a lot of that revolves around education, learnings, and change management. So originally, this project started as a distribution and logistics project, but we quickly learned that it wasn't. It actually impacted all stakeholders within our organization. So, you know, originally, we thought we were building an automated warehouse, but we didn't realize the impact it was actually going to have on the whole organization. So, for example, how did it impact our buyers? We needed to change buy quantities. Category management. Because we were building this new facility with expanded capacity, they were able to increase their itemization. The distribution team, it was different from a conventional warehouse. They had to understand and learn the new WMS. They had to understand and learn how the actual facility worked. This really is not a warehouse. This is more akin to a manufacturing site. It's very structured.
It's a factory.
A factory. Correct. So that was very different. So we had to educate everyone about that, go through a change management process.
And can you share some figures, some results when it comes to now to automated warehouses? What does it mean for your customers, for the shops, for the supply chain?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, internally, we've been able to reduce our costs as a result. We've reduced our headcount
because 15%, 20%, 30%, or what we're talking about?
Our actual headcount probably nearer 50%.
Wow.
Because we amalgamated three warehouses into one. Obviously, it's not quite as much as that because we elected to have Vitron to run the system for us. So it's a little less than that when you add the Vitron resource into the overall headcount. But yeah, significant headcount reductions. Obviously, what we're doing there is while we save on labor and benefits, we're actually replacing that cost with depreciation. So we're essentially prepaying the labor and benefits with depreciation. So we've seen an increase in efficiency. Transportation has been a huge win for us. So this facility really serves two types of customers. Firstly, it serves our members, so traditional grocery product being delivered to grocery stores. But secondarily, we actually use it to deliver health and beauty care, general merchandise, specialty food, cigarettes, and slower moving items into our existing regional distribution centers that they cross-dock out to the end user, the end customer. We have reduced the number of trucks by 50%.
50%. So, wow.
50%. And that's as a result of tote fill. It's as a result of combining two facilities into one. And it's as a result of more densely built com pallets.
Richard, can you remember when we shipped the first pallet to the store? The store owner was surprised that the pallet was not falling apart. It was stable and he could just unload the pallet.
Absolutely. The members are really delighted with the pallets that are built and delivered to them today.
That's great.
While we have some really talented teammates that select orders, they can't compare to the machine.
Okay. Robert, let's talk a little bit about Vitron technology. What was the biggest challenge from a technical point of view in the project?
No, the picking itself, it wasn't our main challenge. The biggest challenge was managing the flow to the outbound. It was coordinating which pallets were needed for loading and when. If all pallets would be sent to the outbound immediately, the area would quickly become overloaded. But thanks to automated WMS logic we've customized for AWG, each picking system is complete, or each picking unit is completed in a controlled sequence at the right time, especially for the requirements. Can you remember, Richard, this was really a challenge?
Yeah, I think if you step back, when we look at other WITRON sites, not many of them have the complexity that we have. So if we look at our facility...
Why is it so complex?
Because it's the way we do business, because we ship all commodities from one facility. Mm-hmm. But if you look at our facility, you've got dry ambient. Mm-hmm. So we have, within that, we have the manual pick utilizing CPS and manual pick. Mm-hmm. We have the comms, and then we have the AIO. Mm-hmm. So really, we have three subsystems just on the dry side come into the dock.
Mm-hmm.
As you go into the colder side of the warehouse, you also have manual produce and some manual dairy. Mm-hmm. Then you have the dairy comms and produce comms. And then finally, you have the freezer.
Mm-hmm.
So another subsystem, mm-hmm. and a little bit of manual freezer pick.
Mm-hmm.
So you have all of those subsystems that are picking at the same time, and then they hit the outbound dock. So trying to sequence those was very, very difficult. So it was a challenge.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain a little bit, Robert, the material flow and its special features? Because Richard already mentioned the different temperature zones, but can you go a little bit into details when it comes to the material flow? Which systems are involved? How do you then combine all the orders and send it to one truck? Can you go a little bit into details?
Okay, I try, but it's always difficult to explain the material flow without seeing it in person. But I try in a couple words. We do piece picking into totes with our all-in-one system. That's the first. Then the ready-pick totes will be picked onto pallets with regular cases with our case order machine. And finally, the ready-pick pallets will be sent to the outbound, but in a controlled sequence from ambient, fresh, and freezer. Except the freezer, we do not buffer outbound pallets in the high bay. So the WMS needs to control the pick stored. Inside that process, there were also special functions like multi-skew pallet receiving, cigarette stamping, tote lidding for the cigarette totes, for example, picking multi-customer pallets for external hubs. They call it DTD. We pick them next to the DTS. DTS is single customer pallets. Banana ripening, for example, etc.
Ah, okay. Richard, how did your suppliers react? Because you must have had new requirements for them, or am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. So it's really, really important to work closely with your suppliers and collaborate with them, because this warehouse is really unforgiving.
Mm-hmm.
If we have bad pallets going into the system, mm-hmm. it's going to cause issues.
Mm-hmm.
If we have damage or crushed cases going into the system, it's going to cause issues. Mm-hmm. So we work very closely with our vendor partners. We provide them feedback regarding the quality of the platform it comes in on, i.e. the pallet. And also we provide them feedback on the type of packaging and the damage that comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it's been a culture change for them. And I would say it's an ongoing journey. I think as automation becomes more prolific in the US and the world, the vendors are going to have to alter some packaging in order to service the automation more efficiently.
Mm-hmm. Robert has already reported on the enthusiastic customers when it comes to the pallets. And what else has changed for your customers in the stores?
Yep. So first and foremost, we've improved on shelf availability.
Mm-hmm.
So the system picks the product accurately.
Mm-hmm.
So they get the correct product in the right quantity.
Was it a pain in the past in your supply chain?
I wouldn't say it was a pain, but it's mm-hmm. a challenge. When you introduce humans into the picking process, errors can be made, mm-hmm. particularly when you're dealing with small items that go into totes.
Mm-hmm.
And when you talk about the complexity associated with pack quantity.
Mm-hmm.
And what we've done is through the WITRON system, we've been able to de-skill the process and improve order accuracy.
Okay.
So accuracy has been significantly improved. There's a lot less damage. The stores have experienced quicker unload times when the truck gets to the store, as Robert alluded to. And it's quicker unload time because of the quality of the pallets, and also because we've increased the cube on the pallets, which results in fewer pallets to actually unload. We've also improved tote fill as well. So now they're not receiving multiple totes, so a lot more efficient for them to handle and a lot less dunnage in the back room.
Mm-hmm.
The pack pattern algorithm that we utilize is really, really good. Mm-hmm. This benefits the store because it keeps like products together.
Mm-hmm.
So when the pallet arrives in the back of the store, it's a lot easier for them to break down and stock, and thus this provides them with labor savings. We do not pick based on store planogram currently.
For them, it's also a new process, right, for your customers?
Yes, it's better. Having all of that product together is a lot easier for them to handle.
Mm-hmm.
Richard, maybe it's worth to mention it that the reclaims have been reduced significantly.
Absolutely. The damage has been reduced. The number of returns have been reduced. The members are getting what they ordered. Mm-hmm. Significant accuracy improvements. They also, while we are laser focused on food safety in our environment, the system further enhances that, and it ensures that based on the pack pattern algorithm, that food safety protocol is always followed. So the stores are absolutely delighted with the offering that they're getting. And also the cross-dock DCs are very happy because, as I said, 50% fewer loads, and the load presentation is really, really good.
How many stores do you supply from the warehouse?
We actually supply 3,400 stores currently.
Okay. And how much do you pick on one day in the warehouse?
It varies, but on average, we pick about 1.4 million cases a week.
Okay.
And when I say cases, that's really grabs. That's a combination of manual cases picked, com cases, and also cases or grabs that go through the AIO.
And how many articles are at the end in the warehouse?
Oh, well over 55,000 currently, and more to come.
More to come. Okay. You want to expand the warehouse, or what is the idea?
No, when we designed the warehouse, we designed it for growth.
Okay.
So we built in, I think it was about 30% additional capacity in terms of outbound volume.
Mm-hmm.
And we built in about 20%+ incremental SKU growth on the dry side.
Oh, wow.
So part of our strategy was in our old facilities, we just didn't have the real estate. We didn't have the footprint to add new items. So we're rapidly adding additional items because our members demand them. You know, as we enter into specialty food, Asian, other type of product is needed. So we're going to continue to add some SKUs. What we're also going to do is we're going to venture into DTD, direct to distribution center, fresh frozen cross dock as well.
Okay.
So what we're going to be doing is we're going to be stocking some slow-moving, specialty, temperature-controlled product.
So, Robert, you are working together again?
Yes.
And what does it mean for Vitron to expand now the existing warehouse? How difficult is it now to extend this warehouse?
Well, just for clarity, we're not extending the warehouse. We built enough capacity in it to expand into this.
Okay. But you need to install new comms or comm machines, or am I wrong, Robert?
No, you're wrong. What currently happening is we just adding additional SKUs to the picking systems.
Okay.
In a consequence, we can supply more stores because the difference is the stores having their own products. When they get new members, Richard, I don't know how many percent of the SKU range is especially existing in that customer only.
There's not a lot of unique items for a particular customer.
Yeah.
We offer all of these items to all of our members.
Okay. And where do you see your supply chain, your logistics in, let's say, in 3 years, Richard?
In 3 years, certainly, you know, we're very happy with our facility currently. Mm-hmm. We still need to do some more work on it, as I mentioned, to grow some more volume and put some additional SKUs in it.
Mm-hmm.
But what we are doing is we're looking for future automation, and we're going to be looking at both can we reutilize our existing facilities and do a retrofit, and or do we need to look at any new greenfield sites? We believe the future is automation because of the challenges that are out there with labor and a number of other challenges.
Mm-hmm. What is on your agenda in the next coming months, Richard? Give us some interesting, what is happening in the retail market in the US? Give us some insights. What do you have to do?
Well, we're certainly looking to grow our business. Mm-hmm. So we're actively looking to bring on additional volume. Mm-hmm. And our expectation is that we're going to do that. As we look forward, our strategic plan, we have a 5-year strategic plan, which mm-hmm. calls for aggressive growth. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be focusing on that, but not at the expense of our existing members.
Mm-hmm. And Robert, what is on your desk in the next coming months?
In the next coming month, I'm looking forward to design a new system.
Once we have
finished this current system, because at the moment, as Richard mentioned, we are trying to add stores, mm-hmm. but I'm looking forward to look for a new system. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I keep my fingers crossed for both of you guys. It was a pleasure to talk to you about your strategy, Richard, and about the technical solution by Vitron. As I mentioned, I will keep my fingers crossed. Thanks a lot, and greetings to the US and greetings to Parkstein.
Thank you.
Thank you.